Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, tell me about human trafficking prevention.
Well, thanks for asking about it. It's a bill that I got passed through the Congress a couple weeks back. It would address the need to get our immigration folks and Foreign Service officers better trained on preventing human trafficking. Believe it or not, we've seen human trafficking rings right here in the Hudson Valley. I think people think this modern-day slavery is something that only happens overseas, but in fact, we've seen networks of folks being abused in Newburgh and New Windsor, Pound Ridge in Westchester County. So the key is to stop people from being victimized before they get in the country. And we do that with narcotics, and we do that with terrorism in the sense that we try to screen better at points of entry folks who, for one reason or another, may set off certain warning signals. And so if women or kids or even men sometimes are being brought into the country under false pretenses, frequently visas that then they'll overstay, we want to know that before they get here and are already victims. And my legislation would do that.
I have to say, Sean, that I don't fully understand the term human trafficking. It means bringing people in for the purposes of prostitution?
Often, but it can be other types of indentured servitude. I mean, it can be to work, but it's often related to sexual exploitation. We've seen some horrific examples of folks who recruit young women in Eastern European countries, bring them in on visitor visas, and then essentially trap them here into lives of forced prostitution. And it's horrific, and it's something that we can prevent if we do a better job at our borders, and my legislation would get at that. We've seen some high-profile cases of this with, like, the Boko Haram kidnapping episode in Africa and some of the things that really grabbed the headlines. But the fact is we have people being exploited in the Hudson Valley, and we can do something about it. And so we just have to, and it's a bipartisan bill. You know, got passed with a lot of support on the Republican side of the aisle as well. You know, and I'm happy to point out, Alan, that it's one of 13 bills that I've passed in the House of Representatives since going to Congress. I know people see all the dysfunction and gridlock on TV, and if that's where you spend all your time on these political games, that's what'll happen. But I've actually passed 13 bills, most of them bipartisan. Three are now signed into law by the president on things like safety of our dams here in the Hudson Valley, on lowering disability claim wait times for our veterans, on reforming crop insurance for our farmers. You know, stuff that matters, stuff that gets results for people. That's where my focus has been, and this bill on human trafficking is a good example of that.
You have a bill to stop the new FERC for capacity. What's that?
Oh, this is very important. Thanks. This is maybe my best day in Congress, is I teamed up across the aisle with Chris Gibson to stop these energy price hikes we're getting in the Hudson Valley. These have been imposed on us by a federal bureaucracy that has been completely unaccountable. Now, this was all set in motion before I got to Congress. I don't mind telling you that the last Congress and Congresswoman Hayworth didn't do a thing about this. And when I got there, this thing was already in motion. It was going to go into effect earlier this year, increase rates by 6 to 10% for people after the worst winter we've had in a generation when people are really struggling from energy costs. And I'll tell you, our small businesses and even our big businesses like IBM in the Hudson Valley cannot take the hundreds of millions of dollars of additional energy prices. This would be $250 million a year, every year, in additional energy costs for the region. So what I did is, after banging on the windows and doors of FERC to get them to stop it, and working with Republicans like Marcus Molinaro, the county executive in Dutchess, and Chris Gibson, the Republican congressman a little bit north of me, you know, we got together and passed a bill in the House of Representatives. It said this is not going to happen. You're going to stop this. And nobody thought we could do it. And we actually had to go up against opposition in our own parties, in my party and in his. But we got it done by working together. It passed the House a couple weeks back. And it is a shot across the bow of FERC to stop this crazy thing. And we are going to get it done in the Senate later this year if we can't get FERC to stop this thing sooner. What really ought to happen is they ought to just unilaterally vacate their decision and revisit it with some local input and do something that makes sense. They got this crazy idea that they need to artificially raise energy prices to get more energy generation, but the fact is we have plenty of alternatives already online on both generation and transmission, and we don't need an artificial energy price hike to deal with a theoretical, supply problem.
Now, you said that you had problems, I'm not surprised, with on the Republican side, but you said you had problems within your own party. What were they based on?
Well, look, there are people in Washington who don't want to rock the boat, who want to go along with the bureaucracy or with these independent agencies who say they know best. But I don't think they know best. I think the people in the Hudson Valley know best. And when you have an agency that hasn't been consulting with local officials, that is completely off base with the solution, this solution in search of a problem, trying to hike energy prices right when people are trying to get back on their feet after a tough winter and in a still very difficult economy. I just think they're completely out of touch, and they're not accountable to anybody. And we need to look at how these agencies show up in the lives of people in the Hudson Valley, because sometimes they do more harm than good. And so in this case, the United States House of Representatives passed a law saying you're going to stop this. And I got to tell you, that is more than anybody has done in the history of this thing. And I'm very proud of that work. And I could not have done it without working across the aisle with Republicans. And we got it done. Now we got to get it done in the Senate. And Senator Schumer's been a big champion on this, and he's been a tremendous help on this. But really, what needs to happen is that FERC needs to get the message, and they need to stop this and start talking to people and do what makes sense.
So when Chris Gibson and you get together, he's a Republican, he's running against a Democrat, in his district. Do you get any crap for helping him, by co-authoring a bill, or the other way around?
Well, let me put it this way, Alan. There's some people who just want to play politics all the time. There's some people who think that the only reason to go to Congress is to play politics. On the first day of your term, you're supposed to be worrying about the outcome of the next election. I heard people are sick to death of that. What I heard when I ran for Congress is people are sick to death of their elected officials acting like children and fighting with each other when they're supposed to be working, when they're supposed to be getting results for the people who pay the bills and who sent them there. So I have a voting record, that is the seventh most independent Democrat in the House. That's Congressional Quarterly. That's not me talking. You're talking about somebody who has consistently stood up to his own party where I thought it was important for the people I represent. And I'm going to keep working with Republicans on things like Lyme disease and on things like infrastructure investments and on things like helping our veterans and on things like keeping these energy price hikes from going into effect. These are common sense issues that don't have a Republican or a Democratic solution. There's plenty of stuff I believe in as a Democrat, and there's a lot of things that the Republicans, particularly these Tea Party extremists in Washington, want to do that I think are terrible. And I'll be the first one to sign up for telling you how bad I think it is. But on a lot of stuff, there are a lot of results we can get. I just told you I've passed 13 bills through the House of Representatives in 18 months. That's pretty good for a freshman in the minority. I'm pretty proud of that. And, joining No Labels, working across the aisle, that's how you get results. Cooperation works, and we have too many people in Washington who just want to fight.
Let's talk a little bit about Israel. We only have 2 minutes, but what do you make of the situation? What would you do right now?
Well, I'm very happy to see that there's been a ceasefire that's been holding. We seem to be slowly working our way out of the worst part of the crisis. I think it's very important that we stand with Israel. Israel is a tremendous ally of the United States, and we share values. And we should never forget that. Israel has a legitimate right to defend itself against missile attacks onto its territory, indiscriminately launched at civilian targets. No country on earth would tolerate that, and we shouldn't expect Israel should tolerate that. Obviously, no one wants to see violence, and no one wants to see the horrific casualties that we've seen over the last few weeks. So it's very important that the ceasefire continue. It's very important that there be a real security solution, so that Israel's legitimate security needs will be met. And it is equally important that there be an economic future and a political future for the Palestinian people that includes a better government, economic growth, real investments in that country, so that they can have a meaningful economic growth and prosperity alongside the nation of Israel. And because the truth is, there's no solution that doesn't involve living with one another, whether it's in our own communities or whether it's in the Middle East. And that's the long-term solution. I do believe there are some good ideas out there right now about reconstructing Gaza in a way that will avoid this situation in the future. And I'm very eager to see those developed and pursued. But the fundamental issue is that we are at a point where hostilities should end. where we should take care of the wounded and those who are suffering, and we need to address Israel's legitimate security needs in the context of a two-state solution. Sean, and I'd like to see that move forward.
Sean Patrick Maloney, thanks for being with us. When we come back the next time, let's talk politics.
Okay.